The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 612. In every believer two armies are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. In Christ he is perfect and free from all guilt, yet in himself evils are both seen and felt. 612.
Thank you. Our reading from God's Word this evening is taken from the Gospel recorded by Mark, the 5th chapter. Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord have done for thee and have had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished, with a great astonishment, and he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Gracious, holy Lord God Almighty, help us to come now, just as we are, to Thee. Nothing in ourselves, and yet, all we can ever need is found in Thee. May we this night, by faith, touch Thee. Touch the hem of Thy garment. And may we find pardon, peace, and healing too. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy great mercy and kindness, which bring us into Thy house again this evening, and for Thy precious word we've read together. Help us, Lord, to thank Thee for Thy great kindnesses unto us day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. All the Lord that we have, we owe to Thee. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge it with thankfulness. Our health and strength, our faculties, our careers, our homes, our loved ones, our possessions. Help us, Lord, to be thankful that there is a Saviour. And may we know Thee as our Lord, as our Saviour, as our God and King. And may there be, Lord, many this night that are given that faith, perhaps for the first time, to touch and to live. We ask, gracious God, that Thou wouldst come down upon this sanctuary this night and come into our hearts and grant unto us we may worship Thee tonight in faith, in hope, and in love. Speak unto us, we pray. Tell us, Lord, that we are Thine. Tell us, Lord, that Thou art ours. And give us that faith to believe, that faith to rest in our covenant God. We ask Thy blessing to rest upon this church and people. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done and what thou art doing. We pray for one this night who will sit down at thy table for the first time. We pray for her. We ask thee, Lord, to grant her healing in her body and thy richest blessing in her soul. And may she feel this evening like a child at home at thy table. And bless each member around that table this night. And grant, Lord, that it may be a time when Christ himself draws near and shows us by faith the wounds he received when suffering for us. May there be united worship at thy table this night, thanksgiving to thee for all thy love and yet grief for what we have cost thee. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done in adding another to this house of prayer and to this church. We pray for her. We ask thy richest blessing to rest upon her, and that she may feel thy help and the answer of a good conscience as she follows thee in thine ordinances. May she know much of thy blessing, much of thy peace. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst go on to do wonders here. Constrain others, we pray, to tell of thy love, to tell what thou hast done. We pray, Lord, for those in bereavement and sorrow and trial and difficulty. We ask thee, Lord, to draw near unto them and grant them to know thy comfort. Grant them to know thy presence. And grant them to know thy peace. We pray, Lord, for any this night who have come with a case, who have come with a need, who have come with a question. Lord, answer it for them. We pray for those who have come carelessly. May they leave thy house with a care and an exercise over their never dying soul. We pray for those who have come prayerfully. May their prayers be answered. We pray that thou wouldst follow with thy blessing the labours of the Sabbath school this afternoon, and that there may be a harvest seen in due time. And that thou hast blessed the labours of past Sabbath schools here, perhaps from many years ago. Lord, thou art able to bring back to the memory what was heard many years ago. And could it please thee so to do? That they may be encouraged, those who labour with the children, to know that their labour is not in vain in the Lord. We pray for those who are absent this night for whatever reason. We ask thee to draw near unto them Grant them to know thy blessing and thy help, although they are absent from thy house. We ask thee, Lord, to continue to bless the ministry of thy word here. We thank thee for what thou hast done. We ask that thy spirit may remain here, that thy work may continue, that this may continue to be a field which the Lord God has blessed with showers of blessing. We ask thee, Lord, to remember this night the gatherings of thy people up and down our land and throughout the world. Bless thy servants as they stand in thy name, and help them to preach and exalt a precious Christ, and point sinners unto him. May many this night be saved under the preaching of thy word. And then, Lord, we ask that thou wouldst remember this nation and guide the ship of state. And at this time of uncertainty and toil, and Lord, we have leaders who know not what way to go. Could it please thee, Lord, to overrule in the councils of government for thy glory and for the good of this nation, and guide us aright? And could it please thee, Lord, to call by grace those in authority and to teach them to pray for themselves and to follow thy holy word? Now, Lord, we ask for thy help this night. We stand on the threshold of another week. We pray that thy word this night may prepare us each for what thy will is for us this coming week. It's unknown to us, Lord, but it's known to thee. May thy word this night not be forgotten, but may we be enabled to rest upon it, plead it with our God, and walk in it all the days of this week through. May we be privileged, Lord, to walk in thy company, in the way of faith, that narrow way that leads to heaven. Lead us now into thy truth. Pardon and forgive our many sins. Lord, we are nothing else but sin. We are unworthy of thy notice. We are defiled and polluted. We need the precious fountain of thy blood. Come, Lord, and apply it to our hearts, we beg. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Hymn 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. 1080. Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help. I ask your attention this evening to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6, and the closing verse. And to put it in context, we will read verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. My sons and my daughters. Can there be anything more precious for a poor sinner than for the Lord Almighty to say of you, my son, my daughter? Those in our text have not just a father, but an almighty father. An all-wise father. A loving father. A holy father. A father in heaven who fills the throne. My God, my Father, blissful name, O may I call thee mine, may I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. This only can my fears control and bid my sorrows fly. What harm can ever reach my soul beneath my Father's eye? I will receive you and will be a father unto you. If you and I have God as our Father, we will know in some measure him to perform for us the office of Father. Child of God, this night, your Father knows what you are in. He knows what you are passing through. He knows your sorrows, your distresses, your difficulties, your disappointments. He knows when you feel like giving up. He knows when Satan comes. And tempts you to do wrong. He knows when Satan comes and tempts you that you do not have a father. He knows just what is best for you. We do not know what is best for ourselves. But because he is all wise, and because he has your eternal welfare in view, he will sometimes do things you do not understand. But he has a reason for it. Sometimes it will be to chasten and to discipline you. And you will need that. Because you and I are yet sinners. We need reminding of that. But even his chastening is in love. It's a mark of sonship or daughtership. If you know the chastenings of God. Sometimes it will be to teach you. To teach you of the fleeting passage of time. To teach you that this is not your rest. To teach you that this is not your home. To teach you that this is not your perfect happiness. To teach you to seek after God. If you never had trials, how often would you come to God in prayer? You never had trials or difficulties, how often would you be dependent? God will not have you live independently. As your heavenly Father, it is his holy will that you always be dependent upon him. As dependent at the end of the way as you were at the beginning of the way. You often forget it, but your heavenly Father doesn't. Your heavenly Father this evening knoweth what things ye have need of. Sometimes he will bring you into a pathway in answer to your prayer to be made conformable unto his death and to partake in the fellowship of his sufferings. If you are going to fellowship in his sufferings, that means in measure you've got to walk through what your Lord walked through upon earth. You'll be nowhere near as dark a pathway as he walked, or as bitter a cup as he drank, or as great sorrows as he bore. But it is his will that you not only be an observer of his sufferings, but a partaker. And the reason, child of God, you are a partaker this evening, and yes, he knows it's hard. He knows it cuts deep. He knows it brings many a tear and many a sigh as you've just been singing. But it is to make Christ more precious to you than what he would have been had you just been an observer of his suffering. It is to make heaven's joy and glory all the greater for you. Because you will have a deeper understanding of his sufferings. It is to make you more thankful for what he has suffered for you. It's to bring you to this point. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ, my Lord, suffer? And shall I repine? Child of God, can you repine this evening? When he suffered so much for you? Should it be a question as to whether we are willing to suffer for him? I understand that in the days of great persecution in our land, that there was one, at least one, who was martyred. And the night before he went to the stake to be burnt alive, he wrote in his last letter that he counted it a high privilege, and he didn't understand why he was counted worthy to suffer. Suffering, child of God, this evening, who are finding it hard. Ask Jesus this night to give you a view of what he suffered for you. And ask him to give you that grace to endure the trial until he brings you out. Because he will bring you out. His almighty power will bring you out. His almighty love will not let you die in the furnace. There will be an afterward. And you will understand why. My sons and my daughters, again, another reason he'll bring you into these circumstances is to bring you to realize that he has a sovereign right as your father so to do. Do we not sing, it is the Lord enthroned in light whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine? Easy to sing, isn't it? How much more difficult is it to live it? When his government disagrees with yours, and the pathway he takes is not as you would have chosen. Ask God to give you that grace to learn submission. To learn that your Father knows best. To learn your Father can't go wrong. To learn that your Father can never be unkind. to learn that your Father can never make a mistake. Don't listen to the devil. He will slander your Father. And he has no intention of bringing you comfort either, because the devil has a malicious hatred for you. You know, you're not going to make your pathway any easier by kicking against your Father's will. Ask God then to give you that grace of submission. None of us have it by nature. But your almighty Father and Lord has that grace to give. And he giveth more grace. And he still gives grace. Ask him to give you that grace then. To be submissive to his will. My sons and daughters, then let us seek as his sons and daughters to walk in a way which is consistent with his will. The immediate context of this chapter and of this verse is speaking against a believer being married to an unbeliever. And those of you who are just starting out into life, heed this word. And ask God to guide you to one of his children to be your partner in life. If you neglect this, you could bring yourself sorrow the rest of your life. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion of light with darkness? And what concord of Christ with Belial? Or what part of he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement of the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. Not only in marriage. What fellowship of righteousness of unrighteousness? Seek to have as little to do with worldly company as you can. Yes, we have to do with the world. We're not to shut ourselves away. We're not to be reclusive. We're not to live in behind convent walls or monasteries. That's not what this word means. We are to have dealings with the world. And when we have dealings with them, we should be courteous to them. We should be kind to them. We should show by our example what Christians are. You know, the Bible, you know, the world doesn't read the epistle to the Corinthians, but it does read you. As I once saw when we went round to look at the school where our daughter now goes to. I may have told you this before. But in the library, Of that skull there is a plaque. It says this: "You are the only Bible a worldling will ever read." And what are they reading? Let us ask God to give us the grace to show the world how Christians live. Let it not be said we bring reproach upon his name by a walk which is inconsistent with his will, because the world watches, the world observes, and the world will be very quick to criticize and use an excuse to turn away from the truth. Ask God then to give you that grace day by day, in your interactions with the world, to show the world how a believer lives. But don't seek their company when you don't need to. They will influence you. If you spend your leisure time with them, don't be surprised if you get hard-hearted. Don't be surprised if you start getting questions and unbelief rising up inside you as a result of their conversation. Don't be surprised if you're a godly person, if the Lord withdraws. He says here, "Come out from among them." That is a word to all of his people. Come out. We serve different masters. And therefore, there is not going to be any agreement, real union and real agreement between a worldling and a believer. Not really. They will respect you. They will not understand you. And in their heart of hearts, they will hate your witness. But then again, that is going back to the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Did they not hate him? Isn't there not a hymn which says on this subject, "Lions and beasts of every name put on the nature of the Lamb, while the vile world esteem it strange, gaze and admire and hate the change. May but this grace my soul renew. Let sinners gaze and hate me too. The word that saves me does engage a sure defense from all their rage." And the King Jesus himself was here. They treated him the same. And part of following in his footsteps is they will treat you in the same way as they treated him, and we mustn't be surprised. But here's a secret to this word. Notice it doesn't say go from among them. It says come. Come out from among them. Come. Where to? Into my presence. Into the presence of your Father. To know his peace. To know his love. To know his grace. To know his compassion, to know his kindness. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Here is the promise, I will receive you, he will not shun you. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how you find it hard to come out. Tell him how your natural flesh longs and desires after those things. Tell him how you feel it when they despise you and make it perfectly clear they despise you and mock you and laugh at you. Tell him all that. Ask him to give you the consolation of his love, the blessing of his Holy Spirit, the assurance of your sin forgiven. Ask him to give you that peace of God which they can never know. One of the marks of the sheep, one of the marks of being a child of God, is this separation. Has God separated you from the world? You no longer are comfortable with it, are you? It no longer fills you like it once did. It doesn't satisfy you. It leaves an aching void. And it cannot fill it no matter how you try. It's God that's made the separation. And the reason he's done it is because you're one of his sons. Or you're one of his daughters. And in love, he will not allow you to stay in that condition. Because to do so will lead you to eternal ruin. Thank him for it. Because if he separates you from them now, he will also separate you from them in eternity to come. You want to be separate on the day of judgment, do you not? But you'll never be separate from the wicked on the day of judgment if you aren't first brought to be separate from them on earth. And so, child of God, this night, rejoice. And thank your Lord and Saviour and your heavenly precious Father for bringing that separation. He's done it in love. And he says, come, not go. And if he said come, if he said come out again, he'll never say depart. He cannot say I never knew you if he said to you come. He's known you as one of his sons, as one of his daughters. This is as personal as it can get. My sons and daughters. The union between God and his children is so close. It's so strong. It is unbreakable. Not all the power of sin, not all the power of Satan, not all the power in this world can break it. I will receive you, he says. I will welcome you. I will love you. I will care for you. I will give you far more than I take away from you. I will give you pleasures which are not harmful to your soul, which are lasting, which are holy, which honor my name and do good for you. The pleasure of his presence. The consolation of his love. The blessings of his word and gospel. Come out. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Saith the Lord Almighty. There is between God and his people a relationship in ties of blood. Just as it is with a natural father and a mother and their offspring, there's a bond, isn't there? That bond will never be broken. You have an affection and a care and a concern over them. They're on your heart, aren't they? In a way that those who are not your sons and daughters aren't. So, beloved friends, you who this evening are privileged to be able to say, "My Father," the reason is because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son. If he has said to you, "My Son," or "My daughter," there's pardon here. There's peace here. There's all the blessings of the family of God here. There's heaven here. Many years ago, my father had to take a funeral of someone somewhere in our denomination. And the only word God ever spoke to this woman with power was this: "Daughter." Just one word. He said that to her when she was a teenager and she died in her 80s or 90s. But it was enough. "Daughter." There's love there, everlasting love. And he may have only said to you, "Daughter," or "Son." But all the blessings flow from that. Of all the blessings that are written in God's word. Now we read this evening of God's care over some of his needy sons and daughters. First of all, we have that case of the mad Gadarene. He was possessed with devils and out of his mind, a danger to himself and to others. And if you read the previous chapter, you will find that the Lord Jesus left a congregation of many thousands, crossed that lake in a night crossing, and he was willing to do that, and willing to go through the storm, which happened, to attend to the needs of one of his sons. Not only did he deal with the needs of the big congregations, but when he saw need, he was willing to leave them and go to the other side of that lake to deal with the need of one man. That man hadn't even asked for his help, as far as we know. He did not welcome it, but the Saviour went just the same. Why? Because he loved him. He was sent by his father because he was his son. And the time had come for him to be released from the bondage of Satan. And then he traveled back. He retraced his steps to deal with the needs of another of his children, Jairus, would never have come to Jesus had his daughter not been at the point of death. And sometimes that's why the Lord brings you into a providential trial, to bring you to Jesus. You wouldn't have come otherwise. That's what sanctification means. It brings you to Him. It brings you to have dealings with the Saviour. And the Lord goes with Jairus to deal with that case. And as he goes, another of his daughters, drawn by precious faith, comes through the crowd to touch his clothes. She would never have touched if she hadn't had a need. And there she is. Have you ever noticed that she had had that condition for as long as Jairus' daughter had been alive? And both of their cases were answered on the same day. For as long as that daughter of Jairus' daughter had been alive, this woman had been in this trouble, growing weaker and weaker, spending all her money on physicians, doing what they said, but only growing worse. And it was only when she had spent all that she had that she came to Jesus. There's a type of the gospel. We will never come to Jesus while we've got something of ourselves to bring. While we can do something for ourselves, we'll never come. It's when we come to that point of destitution. That's when you'll come. You come to that point, you cannot save yourself. That's when you'll come. Sinner, God's going to bring you there. You may take severe means to do so. Then again, have you ever considered, here is this woman, weak, ailing, sick. There is this great crowd. And yet the Lord gave her the strength to press through that crowd. Naturally speaking, it must have been hard work. Naturally speaking, it may have been beyond her power. But although she didn't realize it, God was saying to her, come through her trial. Jesus was saying, come, and she was coming. In all her need, in all her distress, it was her last hope. If this failed, she would die. She'd got nowhere else to turn. And she comes and she touches the hem of his garment. Why does she touch the hem? Maybe she felt that was the place where he would least feel her touch. Maybe it was a sign of reverence. She wanted to get as low as she could. Spiritually speaking, the hem of the garment, what does it signify? It signifies the finished work of Christ. That garment, the hem, is the last part of the work. When that's been done, the garment is finished, no more work. And when by faith you touch the hem of his garment, you're touching the finished work of Christ. She did not touch in vain, did she? Neither will you. She touched, and she lived. She was healed immediately. She knew she was healed, and Jesus knew that she was healed. No one else. That's what it's like with you, isn't it, believer? You know you've been healed. And you rejoice secretly in what your Saviour has done for you. But you know, this woman, she wanted to go away and keep it hidden. But she wasn't permitted to, was she? If she was able to come, and the crowd parted, or she was given the strength to come to Jesus and receive her healing, she wasn't then permitted to go away from him, was she? She had to stay. And it was to God's honour and glory that she stayed. And it was to God's honour and glory that her mouth was opened to confess to those around what had happened. And so it is with you. It's not to God's honour and glory. You keep it a secret. This evening he says to you, as he said to that Gadarene, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things he's done for thee and had mercy upon thee. Go home and tell them. You've got something to tell. And then this. And I'll close. We read that she came trembling and fearing, didn't she? She was expecting a rebuke. What did she receive? A double blessing. She had no need to fear, did she? Had she never spoken, she'd never had that word. Daughter, go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. Trembling believer this evening. Yes, you have fears and trembling. And you would prefer to speak when those fears and tremblings have gone. But that's not the Lord's will for you. You've got to go with those fears and tremblings. And as you go, commit them to the Lord. Ask him to go with you. And you won't meet a rejection. This is what the church delights to hear of what Christ has done. You'll be received in peace. Well, this has been a strange sermon this evening. But may there be a reason for it. And may God deal with each and every one of us. His sons and as his daughters. And may we seek to be obedient children unto him. May God add his blessing. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £905, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 175. Christ is my all, my sure defence, nor shall my soul depart from thence. He is my rock, my refuge too, in spite of all my foes can do. 175.
Forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship thus far this day of thy great and holy name. Bless thy word unto us. Be with any who now go on their way. Go with them. Watch over them. Bless them. Watch over and bless those who now at thy gracious command and invitation seek to remember thy suffering love or to watch from afar. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion of God the Holy Ghost rest and abide with us each now and for evermore. Amen.